The Reserve Bank of Australia has weighed in on President Donald Trump's threat to impose tariffs on metal products imported into the US. Here's the Reserve Bank Governor, Philip Lowe.
The recent announcement by President Trump is highly regrettable and it's bad policy. History is very clear here. Protectionism is costly. It's costly to the country that implements the protectionism, and it's costly to everyone else. It's just not the right thing to do.
This commentary comes as White House Chief Economic Advisor and Director of the National Economic Council, Gary Cohn, became the latest high-profile departure from the Trump administration. This has led to more speculation that a trade war is on the horizon. Andrew Hudson is the Director of the Export Council of Australia and joins me in the studio. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
So the White House supposedly promised Australia an exemption from these tariffs. Then they later said no exemptions. Now the resignation of Mr. Cohn, how does Australia negotiate amongst all of this confusion, all these messages?
Well, it was extreme difficulty. As much as we may have a strong alliance with the United States in a lot of ways, ultimately in this particular battle, we are only a relatively minor player. If we look at the steel and the aluminium we're talking about, in fact, the major players for the US will be Canada, Mexico, and the European Union. In fact, China's exports to the US aren't quite that significant because of the existing tariff and dumping levels. Ours are relatively small, so we don't have a significant amount of leverage when it comes to steel and aluminium. We do, of course, have leverage in other ways in terms of the wider trade agenda. But you would like to think that our work with the US and many other ways will have some give us some standing to actually seek an exemption. And we probably could. If you look at it from a perspective of the size of our exports, they might think it's a de minimis level. We're going to exclude Australia and everybody else who's below a particular level of exports. That might be a way of dealing with it as opposed to having a specific export exemption for Australia.
Okay, so if we are successful in getting an exemption, and as you say, it would be, you know, in a group or a cluster or under a certain level, we still hear the term trade war, that we're going to have a trade war. It still has implications for us, even if we're exempted, right?
Well, significantly. If we look at it from a broader sense, in terms of a trade war, I can put it in a lawyer's context, which is that a lot of my colleagues in the customs and trade law in Washington and New York, they're all moving up a DEFCON level. They're all sitting around waiting for the worst to happen. So stories today are that the EU's already got its measures ready, and some of those measures in retaliation, so to speak.
No jeans, no bourbon,
no cranberries, no Harley Davidsons, or at least that will, of course, have a distortion effect. They may well put additional tariffs on imports into their own countries because they don't want excess production being shifted into their economies. We already have relatively high dumping and countervailing measures in place for steel and aluminium imports into Australia. We have a very complex system here. It's a very comprehensive system. We've already been putting measures into place from such things as aluminium road wheels to hot rolled coil steel, cold rolled steel and the like. There are a lot of measures in place, aluminium extrusions. And the Australian industry has been very active in looking after their own interests there. So you would hope that there wouldn't be a massive surge because a lot of these items are already covered. But what will happen is there'll just be uncertainty for a start. That's not great. And following on from the uncertainty, you will then have measures being put on a whole range of other goods as between countries. So retaliation might take place in the EU. That will be directly aimed at the US. The US might turn around and say, well, you shouldn't have done that in the first place. There's no particular risk to those industries, so we're going to put them on other items as well. And it just consolidates and goes further from there.
What can we read into the departure of Gary Cohn?
Well, he was there for two main reasons. I think the policy out of the statements out of the White House were to the effect that he was predominantly there to get his tax cut through, or that Trump's tax cut, which has happened. But the reality is he was the main go-to person when it came to keeping free trade in place. And he was one of the countervailing or counterweights to the protectionist model in the US. Him going at this particular time sends a reasonably clear message that he doesn't necessarily want to be around when it goes bad, and perhaps it might end in tears. And he probably doesn't want to be in the office when that happens.
The PM said today that there is literally nothing to be gained in the United States from this policy. So he, a lot of tough talk from the Prime Minister. I thought he really spoke in a pretty convincing way about this today. What effect is President Trump seeking, and will it work? What's he trying to do here?
I think his first stage is to deliver on his promises. He promised a tax cut. He's delivering a tax cut. He's promised action, tough action on trade. Now, the action he's taking is pretty much what he promised. It's ultimately up to him to decide because of this national security provision he's invoking. It's not being done. It's been done in a particularly non-transparent fashion. He's delivering on that. So from a political perspective, he's delivering what he promised to do. And you can almost see in some of the Rust Belt parts of America where they're thinking, oh, well, he's delivered. We voted him in. He's delivered. Let's vote him in again. As far as the rest of it goes, I think he's seeing this as a negotiating tactic. If you think about the main exporters of aluminium and steel to America, Canada, include Canada and Mexico. They're all tied up with NAFTA, which they're trying to negotiate at the moment. It may well be an angle on that, an attempt to try and renegotiate more preferable terms. And in fact, today when he was meeting with the Swedish Prime Minister, apparently in his comments afterwards, he said, oh, we'll look at these tariffs, perhaps we'll do something, we can look at it in the context of our friends who look after us. Now, I don't know quite what that means, but there's a very clear message there, which is look after us, put American interests first, regardless of the policy almost, or regardless of the theory behind it, and we will dictate our own policies.
There are reports now that the Prime Minister has stepped up talks with Japan and other countries to resist the tariffs. Mr. Turnbull, I know, has held talks with Shinzo Abe, and Foreign Minister Julie Bishop is to hold talks with the US Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. What do you make of the kind of international talks?
Well, it's encouraging. Obviously, meeting with the Japanese is consistent with what we're doing with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is being signed, as it turns out, tomorrow. Well, it's now the Comprehensive Progressive Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's being signed tomorrow. So 11 nations have renegotiated this deal, which the US pulled out of. So they're all probably sitting in a room, getting their heads together, trying to work out the best way to approach this. So they're sort of putting themselves to one side to America. They are probably promoting that particular agreement as an example of what positive things can happen as opposed to the negative protectionist issues. Yes, we'll be talking to Rex Tillerson, we'll be talking to all the senior bureaucrats. End of the day, though, the impression you get is that ultimately this is a decision to be made by the president himself. He'll take his own advice, but he will ultimately make a decision which he sees to be best. And we can, hopefully negotiations will leave us with, we're only a very minor player and below a certain level not to worry about it. But whatever happens, we just hope that the whole world doesn't spiral into blow after another.
Just a final question. The RBA Governor, Philip Lowe, we began talking about this, says the best thing we and others can do is essentially nothing to avoid escalation. Is that right?
I agree entirely. It's, as Dame Edna Everidge once said, you keep yourself nice. This is what we should be doing. There's nothing.
Zip it.
Yeah, we are.
But if we zip it.
Zip it. And well,
what happens?
We keep our powder dry.
Right.
We wait to see if he does impose it. We're not going to necessarily upset a global apple cart on our own. We speak to our trading partners. The larger you are, the bigger group you represent, the better you can present yourself and the better you can pursue your interests. Us going off with some sort of response straight away would be inappropriate and unnecessary. Let's try and keep the rest of the global system together, and then hopefully over time it will settle itself down and hopefully. But ultimately, though, it just might get to the point, but that point's not now.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks very much for your time.
That's Andrew Hudson. He's the director of the Export Council of Australia.